This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the podcast.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Sarah. I just thought about last time when you were like, I'm Morgan.
I literally, the whole time I was saying my name, I was like, don't say Sarah. Don't say Sarah. Don't be dumb again.
Oh, God. But yeah, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Morgan. And this is episode 16 of Crime Binge.
Wow.
We are halfway to 20.
We are much more than halfway to 20. We are over three quarters of the
way
to 20.
I know, we're so close. We're like four episodes away from 20.
We are 16 20ths, which is equal to... Yeah. 8/10, which is equal to
keep making that fraction go down, Sarah.
I have to do it in my head that way. We're 4/5 to 20.
Yeah, we're pretty fucking close. Not at all half.
Do you remember? Oh God. So do you remember when my brother turned 25 and we wrote that he was half of a century year old because we didn't know how to do math?
I think we were just dumb.
Yeah. But, like, I'm turning 25 in 2 months, and so I'm going to be a half of a century
year old. You are going to be half of a century year old. You're going to be old as fuck. So, did you ever figure out what you're binging this week, my friend?
So here's the thing.
Okay.
I have been binging two things that I'm going to combine into one. So, I've been binging Rachel Ballinger and Colleen Ballinger's videos.
Okay.
And Morgan's been really mad at me today because I keep burping directly into the mic.
And it's because you think you're Colleen Ballinger?
And it's because I want to be Colleen Ballinger or Colleen Ballinger, or however you say it.
Yeah, I think she pronounces it Colleen. Mm-hmm. Which I don't approve.
It's weird,
this
but
cat
I like it.
Is just inside of this crate. Okay, never mind.
But yeah, so I think that they're hilarious, and I've been watching them both for a long time, but I've just, like, been fucking going at it.
Yeah, really getting down that YouTube rabbit hole.
Yes, and so I've been burping and farting constantly, and I'm blaming it on them.
That's
and it's fine.
That's yeah. good. That's a good reason to blame it on someone. Mm-hmm. I also have been binging Colleen, mainly because she's gonna be on Broadway.
Yes,
and
I'm excited.
I just like love watching that happen. It's very cool, very
and
cute.
Also her baby is very cute and chubby.
Her baby is so dumb, and when I call babies dumb, that means I think they're great, because all babies are dumb in their own way. They're so squishy and dumb looking.
They are. And I like, and her sister Rachel has a dog that is, well, now she has two dogs, but she had a dog named Blaze, who's like a blue nose pit, and he's like 2 or 2.5 now. And I like started watching her vlogs from 2 years ago when he was a puppy, and it just like, it gets my puppy strings going.
This isn't my binge, but Jenna Marbles, mm-hmm. recently, because she has like the two little greyhounds.
Yes.
And she recently adopted like a racing greyhound.
Okay.
And it's scared of literally fucking everything.
Aww.
And watching her and her boyfriend like train it is the most wholesome fucking content I've ever seen. Aww. And it's just like them being really sweet and slowly introducing her to things. And I love it. I don't know why, but it's just, like,
that
so
is.
Cute.
That's so
I just
sweet.
Love dogs.
So do I. I cannot just wait to get them. A dog, and you can come over all the time and play with it.
Yeah. We can't get a dog because we already have two cats and we're in an apartment. So until we get a house, we can't have a dog.
And also, I feel like your cats would destroy a dog.
Literally, my sister-in-law, they just got the dumbest fucking dog. It is maybe the size of this White Claw can in length.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just so small. And she was like, we're going out of town in February, who can watch our dog? And I was like, I genuinely think my cats would kick its ass.
Oh yeah,
like they would just think that it's a rag and like throw it around. Like,
your cats are a little aggressive.
They just
they're just
love
bitchy.
To body slam yeah. each other. Like that's favorite. Did you hear that?
Yeah,
that was so weird. That's their favorite pastime, is body slamming each other, and it's great.
Except Lorna's closing her eyes right now, and this is very sweet.
Are you going to ask me when I'm binging this week?
I'm not done. No, I'm just.
Oh, like, yeah, if you're not done. No,
I'm fucking with you.
Okay.
What are you binging?
What do you think I'm binging?
Is it Mindhunter?
It is Mindhunter.
You can't binge. I guess you can, but you're also going to binge it when we do the review.
I'm literally going.
Ew.
I'm offended that you
did. I'm so sorry. Please cut that. I'm going to cry if you don't.
I'm going to have to rewatch it regardless because I didn't watch it with Taylor and he was very upset with me. But here's the thing. I didn't know he would want to watch it because we've watched so many shows together of the first season that he hasn't super cared for.
Okay.
That I can never remember what the fuck he liked. And for some reason, I thought he didn't like it, but it's David Fincher, so he's a hoe for all of those directors, mm-hmm. so I should have known. It was a whole thing. He was mad at me.
It's okay. I pre-warned Corey. I was like, if you start watching this without
Sarah,
me,
really got on to him.
I will murder you.
But I won't go into a lot of detail because we are going to cover it in a minisode. But it has the same layout where it starts with little scenes of BTK.
Okay.
And then it goes into their story. And it follows mostly the Atlanta child murders that happened between, I think, 1979 to 1981.
Okay.
And I've actually had this as my binge before, but if you haven't listened to the podcast Atlanta Monster, it's amazing. It goes over that entire case. And everything that I saw in Mindhunter was very accurate to what I remember from the podcast.
That's cool.
So it's a good companion piece if you don't know a ton about the Atlanta child murders and want to know more about it. So it's kind of a double binge because I binged the shit out of that podcast. It was so good.
It's okay because mine was a double binge too.
It's true.
When we first watched the first season of Mindhunter, and by the time this comes out, we're already going to watch it, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But Corey didn't know that it was BTK.
Yeah. I didn't know for a while until, closer to the end.
Yes, I didn't know until the end. And, because right at the end of it was right when I was in the middle of binging My Favorite Murder.
Okay.
And they covered BTK. And as I'm listening to it, and I'm like, these are all the things from Mindhunter. Yeah. About this guy, and so that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's very good. I can't wait to actually go into a full review because I have thoughts always, but okay. Yeah, that's what I'm binging.
Good. Do you want to get into it?
Let's Since fucking
it's,
get
it's late
into
and
it.
We're two white claws in,
and you know what happens when two girls get two white claws in. They're podcasting. That's
a lot of not being able to
giggly.
Read.
Yeah. Yeah. So this week we are coming at you with not a murder.
Yeah.
But a disappearance.
Yeah. A missing person. So today we're going to tell you about the bizarre disappearance of Bryce Laspisa, who was a 19-year-old sophomore in college in California that went missing while heading back to his house from college after acting strangely for a few days in August of 2013.
And, the main reason I wanted to do Bryce is because ever since I first heard about that story, it's something that I've consistently thought about.
Yes, it's so bizarre.
It's just so strange, and you've probably heard it before. If you haven't, you're get ready for a fucking wild ride because the first time I heard this every 3 seconds, I was like, what? Why? What?
Yeah. What the fuck?
We are going to tell you a little bit about Bryce's early life. Obviously, we don't know a ton, but we're going to tell you what we do know because it's important to I think it's important. The reason I like to start out with this is to know everyone's backstory just a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like it helps you understand the person
and
a little bit more.
Maybe what they're going through.
Yeah. So Bryce Laspisa was born on April 30th, 1994 to Mike and Karen Laspisa. And he grew up in Illinois and attended Naperville Central High School, where he graduated from in 2012. So he graduated a year before us.
Yes.
Once he graduated, he and his family relocated to Laguna Niguel, California. He was described by friends and family as having the ability to light up a room with his charisma. He had a lot of friends, and they all described him as being a funny and happy guy who would often invite them to hang out at his house.
So he's just like the normal, popular guy.
Yeah, he was like a normal kid who was always happy. And like, from what I've heard, he was like that popular guy who wasn't a dick.
Yeah.
Who was just like actually nice. And he just invited people to hang out all the time.
The biggest thing is like, if you look at the pictures that we put on Instagram, like, this kid had the biggest and brightest smile I'd ever seen. Like, I wouldn't be able to walk down the street and not recognize that smile if I had seen him and he was disguised as someone else. Like,
yeah.
Like, his smile is just contagious.
Yeah, he does. And he, like, he always smiles really big in, like, all of his photos, and it looks very genuine. So, he was also a talented artist. He would draw and, like, build things. So, I'm assuming he would, like, do sculpture and things like that. But I don't really know, so I don't want to totally assume. He began attending Sierra College in Rockland, California, where he took classes in industrial and graphic design. So, that matches up with his interests.
Yep, back to the art stuff.
The college was 7 hours north of his parents' home. So, close enough that if he wanted to, he could drive home for a long weekend, but far enough where his parents wouldn't just, like, pop in and visit him.
Sorry. Which is, like, a good amount. Like,
yeah, like I think so, too.
You can drive there in a day, but, like, your parents can't just, like, show up unexpectedly.
Yeah. Because, like, I went to college. We both did. We both went to college in town and, like, lived with our parents. And you never, like, fully got that separation from your parents and got the college experience. While he was a freshman in college, he met his girlfriend, Kim Sly, and everyone who knew them said that they were, like, a great couple, and he was very kind towards her, and they didn't really, like, argue that much. Bryce had a great freshman year at college and spent the summer back at home with his family. He seemed to have a great summer and was excited to go back to school for his sophomore year. And this comes up later that he had, like, a great summer because he was home and his parents didn't notice any odd behavior while he was home. After his first day of classes sophomore year, he called his mom to tell her that he loved his classes and his first day went great. So he was, like, still a pretty happy kid. Basically, life was good for him and he had a bright future ahead of him, like pretty much every victim we cover. Like, have a bright, shining future, and they're young.
Yeah, and it's sad.
Yeah. But after this, Bryce's behavior began to change.
So, a little bit before his disappearance and before this day where all these events happened. So, around August 28th of 2013, Bryce's friends began to notice him acting strangely. His roommate, Sean, was actually extremely concerned about him and ended up calling his mom, Karen, to let her know what was happening, which was super brave because he straight up told Bryce's mom that they had been abusing the ADHD medication Vyvanse.
Which, like, I don't think I would ever have the fucking balls.
And his roommate, Sean, told Karen that Bryce had been acting strangely ever since he'd taken the ADHD medication to stay awake all night to play video games.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, typical teenage 19-year-old boy.
But I think they end up saying that he was awake for, like, 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
Which is not good.
So, it had never actually been said if Bryce had ADHD, but we think that he didn't. Because his parents didn't really know he was using it, and so that he was using it recreationally, and we didn't know how long he had been using it for.
Yeah.
And like Morgan just said,
sorry.
you're fine. Some say that he had been awake by using this drug for 2 to 3 days before the day came that his roommate had called his mother. And then drinking is super common in college. But he had also started drinking excessively for some time. And it had started suddenly. It was reported that he would drink a bottle of liquid liquor. A bottle of liquid. A bottle of liquor
He's
every weekend.
He's staying fucking hydrated. Yeah.
But, like, he would pick up a fucking
like
handle.
A handle and drink it all by himself.
Yes.
Which is not ideal.
Nuts. Because, like, I mean, I pick up a handle of vodka and it takes me probably a month to, like,
yeah.
to get it down. And that's if I'm drinking on the weekend and, like, having a drink after work sometimes.
Yeah. That is excessive. For some people are going to be like, I drink a fucking handle a day. Yeah. What are you talking about? But for someone to go from not drinking to drinking, that is an excessive amount.
It is. And especially for someone who's new, it feels like someone who doesn't know what they're doing. Because, you know, when you first start off drinking, you just drink as much as you can.
Yeah.
Because you don't know your tolerance yet. Like, that's what that looks like. But he was mixing his liquor with the medication he was taking. And mixing it with a medication, especially with a medication that's not prescribed to you, is not smart. And a known side effect of Vyvanse is that it can bring out symptoms similar to bipolar disorder, as well as suicidal thoughts and tendencies. So the day before, Bryce had actually broken up with his girlfriend Kim over text, very unexpectedly. And he began to give away some of his belongings. Like, he gave away his Xbox to his roommate, as well as a pair of diamond earrings that his mother had given him. And giving away belongings is a sign of someone who, like, has given up and they might commit some suicide.
Yeah, like, a lot of people will start giving away their belongings because they don't need them anymore, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of telling.
So, don't take this the wrong way, but when I give you all those blueberries that I have...
I don't think you giving me blueberries is on par with diamond earrings.
I'm so sorry. So, when he had broken up with his girlfriend Kim, the text that he had actually sent to her had said, "You're better off without me." She then asked if they were breaking up, and he just said yes.
And which, like, I'm sure there was more to that conversation, but if not, pretty civil.
Right? But also kind of shitty to do it over text.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because they've been dating for like a full year at this mm-hmm. point.
And so Bryce had even mentioned to some of his friends that something was bothering him, but he wouldn't really talk about it or tell anyone what it was. And that night, Bryce left his apartment and drove to his now ex-girlfriend Kim's place in Chico?
Yeah.
In Chico, California. Which was actually about 90 miles away from his own apartment. So that's an hour
and
a half
drive. That's a good distance, yeah.
So he
and especially in California.
Oh, yeah.
With that traffic, it's probably not just an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. He had actually gone to Kim's house to talk about the breakup, but he, again, was acting strange the whole time. And Kim was concerned that he was either on drugs or had been drinking because she knew about his previous excess drinking and everything. And he was also upset because they were discussing the breakup, and she didn't think that Bryce was in any condition to drive himself home, so she ended up taking his keys from him. Bryce is basically like a tattletale at this point. He then calls his mom from Kim's house a few hours after she got the original call from his roommate and told her that he had driven to Kim's house, but Kim wouldn't let him go home. So Karen asked to speak to Kim, and Kim expressed her concern for Bryce. Bryce takes the phone back and tells his mom, "I'm okay," and that Kim's just upset that I broke up with her.
Yeah.
And he also tells his mom that he wants to talk to her about something later. And Karen offers to get a flight and visit Bryce the next day at college, but he declines, saying he'll just call her the next day. It's fine. We'll just talk on the phone. So the phone was then returned to Kim, And Karen told her to give Bryce's keys back and let him go home. So she did. And Bryce left her house at 1:30 p.m. Yeah. 11:30 p.m. Sorry. Wow. At 1 a.m. that night, his mom receives another call from Bryce. He is basically just calling to check in. And at this point, it had been an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And she thinks he's back in his apartment. And she tells him that they'll talk again in the morning and to go to bed. Later, after Bryce goes missing, they trace his call. And it shows that he was an hour south of his apartment, heading towards the mountains. So he had actually never made it back to his apartment, and he had just kept driving.
Yeah, which, like, hindsight 2020, but if Kim didn't let him leave and, like, the mom didn't say give him back his keys, like, this could have not happened.
Yeah, it could have been prevented. It could have not because, I mean, if the medicine was last, if it was because of the medicine and it was lasting that long throughout the next day, it could have lasted longer. Who knows? But yeah, that definitely would have been a safe choice.
I think it's hard because, like, everyone around him who, like, was seeing him physically was like, Bryce isn't okay. Mm-hmm. But the parents wanted him so badly to be okay that anytime he called, like, they couldn't fathom that, like, he wasn't okay. Yes. Because having a friend call and then a ex, even if it's an ex-girlfriend, call and say, I'm scared for him to drive, I took his keys, that should be, like,
it should be warning signs. And they never, like, throughout the whole thing, they never push him on what's going on.
Yeah.
They just take everything pretty literally and let him go on.
Which isn't to, like, shit on the parents. It's just, reading this case is so fucking crazy because it's just, like, what is happening? So, this is where shit starts to happen. The next morning, around 11 a.m., so this should be, like, August 29th, his parents get a call from their insurance provider, which is State Farm, that says Bryce's car, a Toyota Highlander, requested roadside assistance. So, like, it just keyed them in. Karen then calls Bryce's roommate, Sean, who told her that he had never returned home the night before. So, Bryce, like we know from the phone calls later, never even attempted to go home. His parents start looking through his credit card transactions to see if he had bought anything, to see if they could figure out where he was, which, like, the one good thing about having your parents being able to look at your finances when you're in
and
college.
Your parents, like, on your credit card.
Yeah. His parents saw that there was a charge on his card from a town called Buttonwillow, which was known to be a popular truck stop on Interstate 5. The truck stop was only a few hours from Laguna Niguel, where his parents lived, so they figured that he was just coming home. They actually traced the charge to a car repair shop called Castro Tire and Truck, and the charge was made at 9 a.m. And, like, there's literally nothing on this exit except for, like, this car repair shop and a gas station. It's one of those places where you get off and you're like, does anyone actually live here?
Yeah.
So Buttonwillow is a weird place for him to stop. At around noon, they still hadn't gotten a hold of Bryce, so they actually called the repair shop to see if maybe Bryce was still there, and, like, maybe his phone died, something. Mm-hmm. They were actually able to get a hold of the technician who helped Bryce out, and his name was Christian, who is just the most wholesome boy
I've ever
fucking met, because
he ends up being
he's
the nicest
so
person
helpful
on the planet. Yes.
Throughout this entire thing. So nice.
Strive to be him. He is the only good left in this world.
Yeah. And I bet Christian's real simple, though. Like, I bet he's like, hi, guys. My name's Christian. Even though they live in California.
Yeah, like, even though this is California.
I think that he has been transplanted from a southern town. To fit my, like, idea of this truck stop, he's southern. So, let's see. So Christian tells his parents that he had helped Bryce out on the side of the road when Bryce had run out of gas, and he had given Bryce 3 gallons of gas, which was enough to be able to drive down the road to the nearest gas station and fill up the rest of the way. And do you want to say that or do you want me to say it?
I can say it.
Okay.
So this was just kind of a thought that this kind of tells me that Bryce wasn't totally all there while driving because he wasn't even paying attention to when his car needed gas.
Yeah.
Because most cars have like a gas light or they ding when gas is running low, and he just ignored it and he was just driving until his car couldn't drive anymore.
Yeah. Like he was probably trying to figure out whatever was going on in his head by just driving. Karen then explains the situation to Christian and that they have not been able to get in contact with Bryce and they were really worried about him. And Christian offers to go back to where he had helped Bryce hours before to see if he was still there and to see if he needed more help with his vehicle, which, like, no one in Florida would ever fucking offer to such do that, by the way. Christian drives back to the same spot and calls Karen and Mike and tells them that Bryce was still there since 9 a.m. This is now noon.
And so it's been 4 hours. He's sitting on the side of the road in the same spot.
And, like, this is probably past noon a little bit because they contacted Christian at noon.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's probably 12:30 and he's still just sitting there. Christian goes up to Bryce and puts him on the phone with his mother. She asks him what's going on, and he says, "Nothing, I'm fine," and she just doesn't push any further. She tells him to just fill up his gas tank and head home because he's only a couple hours away, and so Bryce fills up his tank and goes on his way. His parents are expecting him home at 3 p.m. It shouldn't take him that long to get home because he's really not that far away. He's just a couple of hours away.
So the next weird thing happens. 3 p.m. comes.
Mm-hmm.
3:30 comes. He's still not home. Karen and Mike keep trying to reach out to him via calls and text messages and leaving voicemails for several hours, and there's never an answer or a response from Bryce. But his phone is still ringing, so they know his phone hasn't died.
Yeah, like it's still definitely on.
By 6 p.m., so another 3 hours later, they still haven't heard anything from Bryce, and they decide to file a missing persons report with the sheriff's office in Orange County, which, good for them, and good, like, that.
Also that good for Orange County for, like, accepting a missing person report that
early. For less
early.
Than 3 hours, yeah. The police are able to ping Bryce's cell phone through AT&T, which was their provider, and his cell phone was still on, and he finds out that he's still in Button Willow.
Yeah.
At this point, he had been in Button Willow for 9 hours.
Yeah.
When the police finally locate Bryce's car, he's still sitting in his car, only 8 miles from where he filled up with gas and talked to his mom on the phone the last time with Christian.
So in 9 hours, he's traveled 8 miles.
Yes.
Yeah.
A mile an hour. We walk faster than that on the treadmill.
That's true. Not very much, but...
So since the police are involved at this point, when they find him, they perform a sobriety test on him, and he seems normal there. He's polite to the cops and talkative, and they feel as though nothing's really wrong with him, but they decide to search his car just in case.
Yeah.
And they find no evidence of drugs or alcohol. So they ask him what he's doing there, and Bryce just responds by saying that he's just hanging out and blowing off steam before he went to go have this discussion he had been wanting to have with his parents. And police find that totally normal for a 19-year-old kid. 19-year-old kids are full of testosterone.
Yeah.
19-year-old boys are full of testosterone, and they have to blow off steam sometimes. Okay, happens. The police tell him to call his parents, and Bryce is really hesitant to do this and, like, almost reluctant. Like, he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
And the police literally have to dial his parents' phone number and put the phone to his ear in order to get him to talk to his parents.
Yeah.
So Karen gets on the phone with Bryce and asks him what he's doing. And he just responds with a literal, "I'm just putting the stuff back in my car that the police took out when doing the search."
Which, like, Bryce.
Yeah.
That's not what she's asking.
I know. He is...
He's too literal right now. Yeah.
Karen, again, doesn't push. And she just, you know, she tells him to get something to eat and to head home because they're worried about him. And he just wants to be, she wants him to be home safe.
Yeah. Like,
that's all she wants.
That's all any mother wants.
Exactly. So the cops then tell Karen that they're confident that Bryce is fine and is okay to drive home. And they're going to send him on his way.
A few hours after this go by, and Bryce's parents have still yet to hear anything from Bryce, and he's still not fucking home.
Which is insane.
Like, Bryce, just go home. Christian, who is our hero, the real hero of this story, Christian sees that he had missed a call from Karen when they were trying to call earlier, trying to think of anywhere that Bryce could be. He calls her back, and Karen just, like, fills him in on what's going on, because Christian is also her guy at this point. Like, Christian is really helping out. And he offers to drive back down to see if he can locate Bryce. And Karen is reluctant, thinking there's no point. Bryce is long gone, but Christian insists. And he goes out to the spot where Bryce was last seen by police. This cat is intensely, like, examining her head. Oh, she's now just laying down. But
I tried to pet her on the head, and she just very lightly bit my hand.
She's like, no, I'm going to clean you. You don't pet back. So 15 minutes later, Christian calls Karen, and he's like, Bryce is still here.
Bryce is still there.
And they're just like, what the fuck, Bryce? So Christian offers to follow Bryce onto the freeway and make sure he is moving and actually heading towards them. And Bryce agrees to this, and they get in their cars and they head out. 30 minutes later, Bryce is on the freeway, and Christian follows him for about 10 miles down the freeway before he turns around to head home. Which, like, seriously, the nicest thing.
I know.
Because, like, who else would go out of their way to do this for someone?
But apart from being, like, kind of not all there because of whatever is happening in this poor kid's brain.
Yeah.
He also, like, apart from not sleeping, he also hasn't eaten anything.
Yeah.
He has to have gotten out of his car to go to the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
Because he's sitting in his car doing nothing, not playing on his phone, just doing nothing.
Yeah, which is just weird.
It's fucking bizarre.
It seems like he just blanked out and could not do anything.
It's like he's sleeping but he's conscious.
Yeah, it's very strange. Over the next couple of hours, Bryce actually finally keeps in touch with his parents over the phone, which is probably to lure them into a false sense of security, It's fine. So they tell him, like, we are really, really worried, Bryce. Please just come home. And they keep asking him for landmarks or mile markers to get an idea of where he's at and when he will be home. But every time that his parents ask him this, he just says, oh, it's too dark and he can't see any landmarks, but he'll be home soon. Like, his GPS says that he'll be home at 3:25, so he'll be home soon. And, like, here's the fucking thing. You can see landmarks even when it's dark. Mm-hmm. The highways are lit.
Yes, you can see a mile marker.
There's plenty of fast food along the roads, like, especially in California. There's shit on the road that you can tell your parents. At 2:09 a.m., Bryce is on the phone with his mom, and he says that he's too tired to drive anymore and that he's going to pull over for the night. His parents understand and tell him to rest for a bit, but to get back on the road as soon as he can. So, like, it's probably safe for him to pull over and rest if that's actually what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But from what we've heard so far,
he's a fucking liar.
Bryce is not fucking doing that.
So, the next morning.
Yeah.
8 a.m. rolls around, and the doorbell rings at Karen and Mike's house. At first, they're fucking ecstatic. They think Bryce finally made it home. He can sleep in his own bed. They can have a conversation later. He's safe.
But, like, my question is, wouldn't Bryce have a key?
Yes, but okay. You know, he's acting weird.
Yeah, they just like want him to
maybe
be home,
he lost
so
the key. Yeah.
Think.
When they open up the door, instead, they find a California Highway Patrol officer. The officer asks if they own a 2003 beige Toyota Highlander. They tell him that their son had been driving it, and the officer tells them that the car had been found abandoned at Castaic. The officer tells them that the car had been found abandoned at Castaic Lake at 5:30 in the morning. So Castaic Lake is actually 2 hours north of Karen and Mike's house and only 1 hour south from where Bryce had last been seen in Buttonwillow, like in the late afternoon.
Yeah.
The car had been abandoned off of a service road to the state recreation area. And it looked as though, for some reason, Bryce had driven off the service road and up a hill towards the cell tower that was there. Once he passed the cell tower, he drove down the hill and started accelerating towards the lake that was at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so this hill creates kind of an optical illusion. And especially at night when it's hard to see because it's dark and everything. It looks as though the lake is directly at the bottom of the hill. But in reality, it's much farther away, and there's actually a 25-foot drop-off where Bryce had driven off into this embankment. Yeah. The car lands on its side, and upon investigation, the rear window had been broken out from the inside. So that's a good sign.
Right.
But Bryce is nowhere to be found.
Yep.
Bryce's blood had been found on the passenger headrest and on the back seat. So they knew that it had been him that was inside the car at the time of the crash. But there wasn't really enough blood to suggest that he had sustained a serious injury. He obviously wasn't around there, so he was able to walk, etc. Yeah.
In fact, they only found like droplets of blood. Like, they did not find a lot of blood at all.
So Bryce's phone and laptop had been found inside of the car, while his wallet and duffel bag remained outside of the car by the rear window where he had escaped. So he, like, had the conscious mind to take his wallet and his duffel bag out that had all of his stuff in it. But, I mean, he could have not been able to get to his phone and laptop, but, like, he had the conscious mind to take some stuff out, but then
didn't take it with
him. Yeah, leaves it there.
So, obviously, the police began conducting searches of the area. The search consisted of hundreds of deputies and volunteers, as well as search and rescue crews, divers, like people on foot, ATVs, and helicopters. And nothing was found from any of these searches except for the dogs, which we'll go into a little bit later. They do find two weird pictures that makes everything even more confusing. So they're like service or surveillance cameras that are up this hill facing towards the lake to take pictures of license plates as they go up. His car was spotted going up at 2:15 a.m. And this is only 6 minutes after he talks to his mom and tells him that he is going to stop to rest. And then the exact same camera captures his car going up the same way at 4:29 a.m. So he had come down, come all the way back, and went back up this hill.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. And, like, part of me thinks that he did this because he saw the drop into the lake the first time.
And then
and
came back.
And thought some more and came back, personally. We have no idea where he was or what he was doing between these times. There's no known information because his parents think he's resting. On day 9 of the search, they bring in bloodhounds, which track his scent from where his car was found all the way across a dam to a truck stop, and his scent ends there. So they think he got into, like, a truck and he drove away. Since then, there have been really zero clues as to where he could have been. Before he disappeared, he sent a text to his roommate that says, "I love you, bro. Seriously. You are the best person I have ever met. You saved my soul." And his friends didn't think he, like, left on purpose and just needed some time originally. Like, they thought that this text was him just being, like, figuring things out and just being sentimental. And a lot of people think that he had a mental break, like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, because these typically begin to manifest between the ages of 18 and 24 in men, and mostly women, too. I think it might be a little earlier for women. But some people say that it was the Vyvanse that triggered it. A lot of people have reported that this drug causes feelings of depression and things like this. And I have known, I think, like, three people who have taken Vyvanse, mm-hmm. and literally all of them have been suicidal, have had very depressive thoughts, and have also had very manic episodes. So, like, very much symptoms of bipolar disorder.
Well, I mean, like, but also, you know, all Adderall, Vyvanse, all these ADHD medicines, they're all just fucking methamphetamines. Like, they're off-brand, you know? They do this crazy shit that if you don't need it, it affects you worse than...
But, like, these are all people who needed it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the drugs for ADHD that causes very severe reactions. So people who are in need of it are already experiencing severe depression. So for Bryce to take it, who isn't supposed to take it, like, that's why I think the Vyvanse had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Personally. And detectives believe that he just walked away from his life. They think he's alive and well somewhere. The major sign is that he gave away his possessions to them. To me, I think that's more of a symptom of depression again, but whatever. And they also, because his scent left after the truck stop, they think that he just, like, got in a truck and hitched a ride and left his life behind. You made me yawn.
I'm sorry.
So rude. In 2013, a burning body was found just 3 miles away from his car was found. And I think this was, like, a couple of weeks afterwards.
Yeah, because if he disappeared in August and this was still in 2013, like, it had to have been within the next couple of months.
Yeah. And they originally assumed that it was Bryce because it was only 3 miles away from his where his car had been mm-hmm. found. However, it was a different man from LA who had been murdered, so there were no leads there. And the search was called off after only 3 weeks of searching because the police just genuinely think he walked away from his life because all signs do point to that.
Because, mm-hmm. yeah, he was able to get out of his car.
Yeah, he didn't take any of his banking information with mm-hmm. him or anything like that. And they didn't
find a body.
Yeah.
So his parents have actually never changed his banking information in case he, for some reason, decides to use it one day. And as of now, he hasn't used anything from his old life, hasn't tried to log into his emails, anything like that.
Or even, like, his Facebook. Like, mm-hmm. they're monitoring all of that.
So the parents do think that foul play is involved, or if he is alive, that he doesn't know who he is because of the accident and he got amnesia. Online people think he's in the lake and was trying to commit suicide, and they think that since it didn't work with the car, he walked into the lake and drowned.
Which, I just have to say, this is physically impossible. You cannot walk into a body of water and force yourself to drown, because your body automatically forces you up to breathe. You would have to immediately get in and, like, swallow a bunch of water in order to do that, or you would have to be weighed down because your body forces itself back up.
But isn't there, like, a famous author who walked into the water to kill themselves?
They wrote a book about, where a woman walks into the water to kill themselves, and that's why it's so unrealistic, because it's not true. Okay. Ophelia also in Hamlet supposedly did the same thing, but it's like physically impossible unless you're unconscious or you're weighed down to like to just walk into the water and hold your breath until you drown, because your body naturally forces you up unless you start swallowing water to basically like suffocate yourself.
Yeah, which I mean, he, playing on this theory, like he could have done that and he could have like intentionally just laid face down and drowned himself, but then he still would have been floating and would have been found.
Yeah.
Is the thing. So basically his parents have just been shit on since this happened, because he was acting so strangely, and people think that his parents should have done more. Like, they should have gone and picked him up, or stayed on the phone with him, or tracked his phone, or, you know, done whatever they could. So his parents end up hiring a private investigator to look into their case. And this PI had the lake searched with sonar technology to see if they could find a body. They ended up searching for 2 days, 12 hours each day, and nothing was ever found.
Yeah. So it's highly unlikely that there is a body in there.
And there has been no confirmed sightings of Bryce since his disappearance. And there have been some sightings, but none of them obviously confirmed by the police. And all of these sightings occurred just in the few days within his disappearance, nothing super recently.
Yeah, like, I couldn't find anything that wasn't on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you guys on Reddit, but I don't trust a fucking word you say when it comes to seeing people who have disappeared.
So, basically, we want people to keep an eye out, because in case he is alive somewhere, whatever.
Yeah.
If he's ever found, it'd be a great thing. If he does have amnesia, if he hitchhiked and is being held hostage by someone, anything, whatever. So, at the time of his disappearance, Bryce, again, was 19 years old. He was 5'11" tall and weighed about 170 pounds. His ears were pierced, and he was last seen wearing white cargo pants, a blue and white plaid shirt, and size 12 red and white Nike shoes.
Got some big ass feet.
He does. My dad has size 13 feet and has had them since he was like a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're disgusting. And he's like, they used to call me a clown.
Yeah.
He has bright red hair and bright green eyes.
He's like, very distinct.
Yes, you would know him if you see him. He also has a very distinctive tattoo on his upper left arm with a Taurus bull's head, like bullhead, and his birthday in Roman numerals in it. And he would be 25 as of today. And we'll post, like, we'll have the picture of his tattoo and everything on Instagram along with pictures of him.
Right.
And again, he also has that huge smile that you would recognize from anywhere. So again, look at our Instagram photos and see if maybe you recognize him. But if you have any information regarding the case, you can contact the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office, and that is at 323-890-5500. And tips can also be submitted through email via findbrycelaspia@gmail.com. And they have like a Facebook page.
Yeah, and there's everything. A bunch of places you can find them, but those are like the official.
Or, you know, let us know and we'll pass it forward.
No, don't fucking put me in charge of that. Are you fucking kidding me? But yeah, that, what do you think happened?
I don't know if he's still alive now, but I think obviously he was alive when he left, and I think he got with a trucker and went somewhere. Who knows if he sustained injuries, if he's alive now, if he remembers who he is. But like, it was such a big thing that if someone were to have seen him, they had to have seen him. Like,
yeah,
they would know. And so,
and no one's ever come forward as being like the trucker who picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he could have met with foul play, but everything to me leading up is that like, he had a mental break and was going to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Personally. or like he was going to talk to his parents and tell them that he was having these thoughts, like something like that, because all of the behavior before, giving away his belongings, breaking up with his girlfriend, things like that, all to me point to like being very suicidal.
Yeah.
And I think I mean, it definitely was a trigger from the Vyvanse and being up and drinking and mixing it. I think that it has something to do with that. But I also have, like, no fucking idea.
Yeah, like, no one knows, because if he had committed suicide, like, there would be, around that area, there would be some trace, some evidence,
yeah,
his body or whatever. But he could have, you know, traveled and done it someplace else also. But, again, there's no answers and there's no closure. And his parents think he's still alive, so...
Yeah. So keep your eye out, basically.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will someday have an answer to this case, because that would be wonderful.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that story is just bizarre. Like, from the first time I heard it to even researching it, it is bizarre.
It's so weird.
And it makes you feel things.
Yeah.
And
so. Do you want to feel different things?
I was going to say, do you want to tell us a story to get us off this crazy confusion train and maybe make us laugh or something?
I don't think that's gonna happen. At least the confusion part. Okay. I think you might laugh. But this is not just a Florida man. This is a Florida couple.
Yes.
Arrested Florida couple pleasure each other in the back seat of cop car. I'll read you the story, but that's exactly, yep, what it sounds like.
I mean, the thing is, you see these, like, couples all over the place, like, or all these news articles about, like, couples doing it on the beach and getting arrested.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
they're already arrested, and they're then pleasuring themselves in the back of this cop car. So, a Florida man and Florida woman are arrested for shoplifting at Walmart. According to an internal investigation, Fort Pierce police officer Doug McNeil arrested 23-year-old Zachary Molendick, which,
that's an
unfortunate
name.
Last name when we're talking about what we're talking about, and 23-year-old Krista Lay.
So both, they were our age.
They were. Both are from Florida, and they were stealing baby toys and jewelry. So McNeil is the woman. No, I'm sorry. McNeil is the cop. Don't mind me. He initially handcuffed Lay behind her back, but later moved the handcuffs to the front so she could smoke a cigarette.
Such a nice cop.
Yeah. And the officer didn't handcuff Molendick because he was using crutches.
Okay.
But, like, once he's in the car, we can't put handcuffs on him?
Nope, because he still can't. He's got a sprained ankle, Morgan.
So the pair are placed in the back of the police car, obviously, and they're transported to the St. Lucie jail for booking. And while they're in the back of the patrol car, the couple allegedly use their hands to pleasure each other while McNeil played Barry White's Can't Get Enough of You, Babe on the stereo.
So was the cop in on it?
Yes. The couple's sexual activity was noticed by deputies at the jail's Sallyport, and McNeil was later disciplined for not following police procedures and unbecoming conduct.
So he was like, this
he was
is the
also
last time.
Getting off on it.
Yeah, like, this is the last time you guys are going to see each other for a little bit. I'll let you get a little freaky. Oh, well, that's why that's what they look like.
They look like every Florida person who's ever been arrested.
They look like every Florida meth head that's ever been arrested.
They truly do. But yeah, so that's fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. But we have exciting news. What's it called? So we made a Facebook page, and then we also made a Facebook group so we could all, like, talk about shit on Facebook.
Yeah, like, we'll make a post about what you think happened to Bryce, and you guys just let us know, like, your opinions on it.
But also feel free to post your own, like, stories if you find one that's interesting. Like, we want it to be a community where, mm-hmm, you can interact, and it's not just us posting things. It's where you guys can interact with each other and us.
And so we have the Facebook page, which is called Crime Binge Podcast. Simple enough, like everything else. And then we also made a closed group. And
I think it's just called like Crime Binge Podcast Group.
Yep, it's called Crime Binge Podcast Group. And again, it's a closed group. We, for the time being, we will be monitoring it, accepting people, making sure people are being nice and friendly and relating things to the concept. We want to
make sure that no one's posting any racist shit and that shit. You're posting things related to true crime, not to like sell your Etsy shop.
Right.
But we just thought that would be fun because we've had a lot of fun in the past on other like groups. Sarah's favorite Facebook group currently is where everyone pretends to be boomers.
Yes, I love it.
So we just thought it would be fun to have like a group where we could talk to you guys and you guys could talk to us and each other.
Yeah. And apart from that, also, remember that we are posting all the pictures and everything on our Instagram, so follow that at Crime Binge Podcast. And our email is crimebinge@gmail.com if you want to send us anything. But I also, so where Morgan and I work, we have these like company meetings every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And they always ask if anyone has any shout outs or announcements. And obviously, me being the shy little bean that I am never going to do that. So, as the two of us, I just want to give Morgan a shout out.
Oh my God. No, no, no.
Because Morgan just rearranged her entire house so that way we can have this nice little podcast corner and we can basically like decorate it however we want.
Thank you, friend.
And you're welcome. And like, we can sit much closer to each other and we're not like reaching and because we were in her guest room before. And we were, like, across the room. There was a lot of stuff everywhere. And she ended up switching her master bedroom to the guest room and created us this nice little corner. And it's great. And I want to thank her for it because, again, we do everything at Morgan's house. And that way I don't have to clean my own.
Thanks, friend. I appreciate that. Also, my boyfriend is very confused.
Is he still trying to come in here?
Yeah. And doesn't love it, but he has to deal with it. The good thing is, though, that he's also a musician. So, like, one half of the room is my podcast corner, and the other half of the room is his, like, music stuff, even though that's all mine.
That's fine. It's not done yet.
But, yeah, we have a new fun space to record in, and it feels more cozy, I think.
It does. I like having her own space that's, like, for us. It makes us feel a little more official.
Yeah, it's very fun. So if you want to contact us, just reach us at crimebinge@gmail.com. You already said the Instagram, crimebinge at Twitter. And
keep on binging.
Keep on binging. Goodbye.
See ya.